I'm saying that for a while. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Verse 2 will be our text verse tonight. Romans chapter 12. Verse 2. There won't be any points tonight to this sermon. So there isn't any point to it. Romans 12 and verse 2. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And that'll be our text verse tonight. Let's talk about be transformed and not conformed. Be transformed and not conformed. Let's pray and we'll get started. Heavenly Father, Lord God, tonight I pray, Lord, that you would bless this time. Fill me with your sweet Holy Spirit, Lord. Not a long sermon tonight, Lord, but if they would give me their attention for about the next 40 minutes, we'll be done, Father. And I pray, Lord, that you would help this to be able to be a help now. In Jesus' precious name, amen. All right. Romans 12, 2 again. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Notice the scripture says here, and be ye not conformed. Not conformed. Emphasis on the word not there. It says be transformed. Be transformed. The secret is the mind. And in the renewing of the mind being transformed and not conformed to this world. That's the key. That's the key. Being transformed and not conformed. The book of Romans is divided into two sections. Two sections. The first sections will be covered in chapters 1 through 11. The first section covers doctrine. And the first 11 chapters cover a lot of doctrine, a lot of good Bible doctrine, amen, important Bible doctrines. And flies everywhere in this place. The doctrines are very important. But then the next section is chapters 12 through 16, which is through the end. Always being reminded of that. And 12 verses 12 through 16, we talk about practical living or an application for that doctrine into the real or in the real world. And then we have the pivotal point is verses 1 through 2 that Brother Jonathan read a little bit ago. Verses 1 through 2. That's the pivotal point. Chapter 11 ends. Then you have verse 1. And you have verse 2, and then you have the rest of the book of Romans after that. And that's the pivotal point right there, is those verses found in Romans 12, 1 and 2. Paul is saying the redeemed ought to live this way, is what he's saying, because of the wonderful doctrines that are found in the first 11 chapters. That's what Paul's saying. The redeemed ought to live this way. Why? Because of those wonderful doctrines found in chapters 1 through 11. That's why they ought to live this way. That's why the redeemed should live this way. The first 11 chapters. An example of a doctrine of those would be the doctrine of justification. Paul is saying, I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. Why? Because of justification. You're justified by faith. That means to be made right. By faith. Faith in who? In Jesus Christ. Amen. So that's why Paul is saying, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, or in other words, because you're justified by faith, that you do this. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. Why? Because you're justified. Not to be justified, but because you are justified if you're a believer in Christ. You are justified. And that's very important to remember. Someone says, preacher, I'm addicted to movies. I'm addicted to pornography. Or in this day and age, internet pornography. I'm addicted to internet pornography. I don't believe that. I don't believe that for a second. So you don't believe people are addicted to that? No. People say that, so I'm addicted to pornography. Sure you are. I don't believe that. Pornography is not addictive like narcotics are. Pornography is not addictive even like alcohol can be. Liquor. Pornography is not addictive in that form. There isn't such a thing as somebody being addicted to pornography. See, I believe you can quit that junk if you just simply produce enough character, enough decency, enough willpower, amen, enough discipline of the Christian life. You can walk away from that junk and present your body a living sacrifice to God and to be acceptable before Him at any time. You just simply have to choose to do so. You have to choose to do so. Very true. Very true, I believe. God's saying, because you are justified, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by what? The renewing of your mind. The renewing of your mind. Why? Why should we do this? Well, let's see. Because of propitiation. That's why. Because of justification. That's why. Because of sanctification. Amen. That's why you're set apart. Because of predestination. That's why. Because of election. That's what we could go on and on. All the other great doctrines that are found in the first 11 chapters of Romans. Amen. But then Paul goes on to tell us the rest of the book of Romans and what it means and what kind of a life we are supposed to live as one of God's children. Amen. That's what he's telling us. God has given to the Christian a little world within a world through the local New Testament church. Unfortunately, not everybody takes advantage of it. Many churches I know of that are a little bit larger churches even have Christian schools and other things to offer along those lines. And we, of course, hope to have some of those things here in a few years maybe. And that's what our plans are anyway. But they've got a lot of things that are kind of like a world within a world. Some even Christian colleges, like where my son goes to school. It's like a world, a little bit of heaven in the world. It's a world within a world. The local New Testament church. That's what God had intended for it to be. If someone's in a Christian school somewhere in some church and they're living a loose moral life, then they're just simply this, a traitor to the cause of Christ. They've got every opportunity in the world in that type of environment where they don't have to be exposed to all the things that the kids that have to go to the public schools have to be exposed to all the time. And what a shame, what a traitor they are to the cause of Christ to be put in that kind of environment and not live for Him. What a shame. They become a traitor. Become a traitor not only to the cause of Christ, but even to that local New Testament church that puts forth that school and to the pastor that presides over that church. Amen. Nobody ought to ever cause themselves to be expelled from some Christian school somewhere, let alone a public school, anybody that's a Christian, but certainly not because of any immoral or loose living should they ever have to be expelled from a Christian school. There's a world within a world. It's a world within a world. This bigger world we live in is a godless world. This world out there. It's a godless world. It's a godless society. We're forced, though, to do some interacting in it. We have to interact with worldliness at home. We have to interact with world or in the secular business, outside of home, I'm sorry, in the secular business or in secular school. Sometimes, you know, of course, many of our kids here go to a secular school. You have to interact with people that aren't believers in Christ, that don't believe the book is true, that don't hold to Christian principles and beliefs and those sorts of things, and even teachers and whatnot that don't. By the way, shame on those kids that have the opportunity to go to a Christian school somewhere and they don't live for God. They ought to be ashamed of themselves. They ought to be ashamed of themselves. They ought to be ashamed of themselves. Now, we are required in some ways to interact with a godless, Christless world out there. Now, something I want to point to your attention is this. The passage of "be ye not conformed to this world, but be transformed." It's a passage, though, not written to lost people. Guess who it's written to, though? Christians. It's written to the Christians that are found at Rome. It's written to the Christians there. So it's a passage written to Christians at Rome. What was going on there? Rome. Corrupt, pagan society, skeptical, perverted people. The entire environment that they were living in was definitely unchristlike, unchristian. The entire environment, even anti-Christian, we could say. But the Bible says that this book was written to the saints that are in Caesar's household. So we have this admonition then. be not conformed to the world. So, preacher, what does it mean? Well, I'll tell you tonight. Believe me, I'll tell you. Simply means dress like a Christian. And not like Paris, amen. Not like Hollywood. Something like that. Not like New York. It means males ought to have a haircut that looks like a male and not the Beatles, amen. Looks like a male and not Justin Bieber, whatever his name is, old Beatnik, and not like him. God is saying to his people, I'd rather that you have a Dr. Lee Robertson or a Dr. John R. Rice as one of your heroes and role models than, let's say, Arnold Schwarzenegger and whoever else is more current than him. I'd rather have, he's saying, I'd rather have you have an old-time preacher like a Dr. Jack Hiles as your hero instead of Garth Brooks as your hero. Or your pal Justin Bieber, whatever his name is. Don't know, don't care. Anybody who looks like a fag doesn't get much of my attention, amen. And he looks like a fag from what I've seen of him in the pictures, amen. Amen. But that's who you're supposed to have as a role model, somebody who's godly. Somebody who's living for God. Paul then says, be transformed. Who is different from this world as Jesus was on the Mount of Transfiguration. This, folks, was written once again to Christians of Caesar's household in a godless, anti-Christian Rome city, corrupt, pagan, skeptical, perverted society. It's a perverted place. It was one of the most horrible cities. Yet to the saints in this foul, corrupt environment, Paul writes these words, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. So it could be done, couldn't it? It could be done. Yeah. It was a wicked, ungodly place. But it could be done. The Christians in Rome had no Christian school to attend. They had no Christian grade school, no junior high school, no high school or college to attend. So don't feel so sorry for yourself that you don't have all the advantages of everybody else. They didn't have those things. They didn't have those things. Yet God said to these people in the middle of a godless, anti-Christian Rome, it is possible for you to not be conformed to this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's what he was telling them. Paul is saying it is possible to live in the midst of a Roman moral quagmire without lowering your flag of purity. Amen. Please listen to me for a minute. That means that it's possible to do the same thing today, right here in our city, right here in our town. It's possible. Amen. Right here, Lincoln, Nebraska, it's possible tonight. It's possible today to live in a society that's controlled by TV, by Hollywood, by NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, the internet, and whatever else you want to throw in there. It's still possible to live for God by way of renewing your mind. It's possible. It can be done. Amen. We get the idea it can't. We get the idea that it's really not that big a deal. We get the idea by all these liberal Christians that we're surrounded around all the time that are always claiming and flinging and clinging to liberty, liberty, I've got liberty. Hey, that term of liberty doesn't mean you're supposed to just live however you want to, bless God. That's not what that means. They love and cling on that verse, and they got neighbors that cling to that verse. They love that stuff. Hey, Lord, I thought we were saved by grace, they'll say to me. As they run around three-fourths naked around their backyard, and we're always dressed right, living next door to them, we're always kind and friendly to them, and they say they're born-again Christians. And they say, well, I thought we were saved by grace. You know what I'd like to say, and I will one of these days because I'm just getting fed up with it, then why don't you dress like it? Because when you dress like that, like my neighbor runs around nothing but his pair of shorts and nothing else, and bless God, he don't look that good, trust me. When he runs around like that, he's bringing himself back to the Garden of Eden, amen. Hey, guess what? That fig leaf religion, amen. That was the one that was by works. So why are you dressing like you're saved by works then? That's what I want to tell him next time he says that. Why are you dressing like that? We're trying to dress like we're saved by grace, amen. Realize that it is all by grace, and it's not how we dress that gets us to heaven. But hey, listen, by taking all my clothes off, I'm saying I'm going back to the Garden of Eden. I want to cover up with some fig leaves again. That's what they did to try to make their own attempt for their salvation, amen. God said that wasn't acceptable. God said, hey, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take an animal. I'm going to shed its blood, and I'm going to go ahead and make coats of skin out of that thing, and I'm going to go ahead and cover you with that, and you'll be covered with that coat of skin that was shed from shed blood. Hey, guess what? The fig leaf religion is a work salvation. I'm saved by grace. But still, it's possible to live in this sex-crazed, Hollywood-infested, HBO, sin-to-the-max, Showtime, and this hip-hop music world of ours, and still not be conformed to this world. If it was possible for the saints at Rome, it's possible for the saints today. It's possible. It's possible. It's possible. Paul said it was possible in that horrible, morally polluted atmosphere to breathe without poisoning the souls of the Christians in Rome. And it was possible to walk in the septic streets without soiling the white garments of sainthood. Paul says, tells them not to be creatures of circumstances or happenstance, but to take a stance for God in a wicked and ungodly environment. It's exactly what we're supposed to do. But we give in. I said, well, preacher, I don't want to be different than everybody else. I don't want to look different. I don't want to talk different. I want to fit in. Hey, you know what? I want to fit in too. I want to fit in with him. Because I read the end and he wins. And in the end, it's his kingdom that will rule and reign, amen. I want to make sure I fit into his kingdom, amen. So I'm going to do my best to try to go ahead and live that way now. And I'll worry about what the rest of the world wants. I'm not worried about what Hollywood wants. Hollywood's on its way to hell. Not worried about that. Paul said it was possible in that horrible, morally polluted atmosphere to breathe without poisoning the souls of the Christians in Rome. It was possible to walk in its septic streets, amen, without spoiling those garments. Paul said all those things. Stand up for Jesus while you're at work, amen. Stand up for him while others curse him on the job. Stand up for Jesus at school while others mock him. Paul is saying to these saints in Rome, do not do when in Rome as Romans do. But when in Rome, do as Jesus would do. Amen. That's what he's saying. He's telling them not to live like the rest of the world. He's telling them not to be the slave, but the master of their environment. Don't be the slave of the environment that you're around. What is it that you're so enamored with them? They got you like a dog on a chain or what? Is that what you're so enamored about? What is it you're so enamored about? Because a little bit of laughing is going to bother you that much? A little bit of snickering is that big a deal? I'll tell you what, I wouldn't worry that much about it. I went through most of my childhood being laughed at because I was the loner who didn't run around with a lot of people much. And you know what? They laughed. And you know what? I knocked them right in the nose too. And you know what? I got in trouble too. I remember them laughing at me in the bathroom. And I punched that one kid right in the nose, man. He was bleeding all over the place. I'll tell you what, I got in trouble, went to the principal's office, but bless God, he didn't laugh at me next day. Amen. Now, I don't recommend that, but let him laugh. It's not that big a deal, amen. Laughing ain't never hurt near as much as that punch did in his nose, amen. But I wouldn't recommend punching him either. Just let him laugh. Just let him laugh. You stand for what's right, but you let him laugh. Let him laugh. Don't be a slave. Paul preaches not the doctrines of conforming, but the doctrine of transformation is what he preaches. Paul is saying to the saints at Rome, man is not to become a creature of his circumstances or the toy of his surroundings or a piece of clay molded by his peers, but he is saying, do not be conformed, be ye transformed instead. That's what he's telling them. It bothers God when his daughters are quick to take up the hairstyles of modern-day Romans. It bothers God when his children are quick to pick up the modern appearances and so desperately want to be accepted by the modern-day Romans. It probably occurs because God's people spend more time reading some glamour magazine somewhere, or picking up young Christian ladies probably spend the time reading 17 magazine or some garbage like that, than in their own Bibles and spending time in the Word of God and spending time in prayer and spending time in the things of God. That's exactly what the problem is. It bothers God when his sons are so quick to go out and get a tattoo or pierce their ears simply because of modern day Romans. Just doing as the Romans do. That's the average Christian. We'll just do like they do. We'll just do like them. Amazes me. So-called Christians we work with, and they think it's okay to drink. Amazes me. They think it's okay to neck and pat. It amazes me. But it saddens God. It saddens him. God is telling his children they're not to copy this pagan world, this pagan Roman type world that we live in today. There is a difference between dressing appropriately and going gaga over the latest styles and embracing, going quick to embrace them simply because we want to be like the Romans. We want the Romans to love us. We want the Romans to be infatuated with us. We want the Romans to just think that we're just great. I mean, we don't want to be somebody who stands out from the rest of the Romans. We want to be just like them. We want to do as the Romans do. Be transformed instead of conformed. That's what God wants. God wants that. We are not to pattern ourselves after this modern day world. If the world lies on a beach in their underwear, then God's people ought to do just the opposite of that. If the women of this world wear their shorts and man's apparel, then Christian ladies ought to do the opposite of that. We are in the world, but not to be of the world according to what the Bible says. Amen. He tells the redeemed in Rome that they are to be more of a product of their environment, more than a product of their environment, more than the rest of the geographical area they live in. They're supposed to be something different than that. They're supposed to be something more than that, more than just a piece of merchandise that's molded and made by the surroundings of its manufacturers that are around it. It's something more than just the object of that manufacture. Something more than just what everything else is. You're supposed to be different. 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 That's why the kids sing that song, Dare to Be Different. Because we're supposed to be different. 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 You're not to be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. It thrills God to see his children reflecting the scriptures around town rather than society. It thrills God when he sees the boys with decent haircuts and without their pants hanging down to their ankles and their underwear showing. God loves it when he sees his young ladies dressed in modest clothing without the vampire look all around them. When I lived down south, I used to thank God I belonged to a church where members dressed right and people around town knew where you belonged just by how you dressed. You went into a store and you said, boy, you guys go to Longview Baptist Temple, don't you? How could you tell? By the way they were dressed. By the way they were dressed. They were dressed different than everybody else. That's how they could tell. It may be difficult not to be conformed to this world, but difficult is not spelled impossible, folks. It's not spelled the same. It's not spelled. God is saying, do not drift, but steer. God is saying, do not float, but swim. God says, do not descend, but ascend to greater heights. Amen. He says, do not blend, but transcend. He says, do not condescend, but apprehend. He says, do not be a slave to dust, be its master instead. He says, swim against the tide, even when it's not popular to swim against the tide. God is saying to his children in Rome, be like the lily in the mud, which transforms sordidness into beauty and stagnance into fragrance. He is saying to them, do not bow your knee to the god of fashion, the Baal of conformity, the deity of compromise, the altar of timidity, to the prince and power of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Amen. That's what he's saying. Christians who are conforming to this modern day Roman world that we live in are making a serious mistake. A serious mistake. A serious mistake. I only hope and pray it doesn't cost you your children, doesn't cost you your family, because it sure well could. It could cost you more than what you're willing to pay. Sin always does, by the way, cost you more than what you're willing to pay. To be conform to that. Christians for conforming to this modern Roman world and not transforming it. This doesn't bother you because you do not care what God wants you to do anyway. But those who do care will keep on transforming and not conforming. Hate to say it, but we've had people like that here before. I can preach and preach and preach, and it doesn't make a lick of difference. They're just going to go ahead and do it anyway. Because they really don't care. But they will one day. Say, when's that, preacher? I don't know. I'm not God. But I do know this. I know what the book teaches, and they will one day. Whether it's something that they lose that's very close to them, or something tragic that happens to them, or just simply the day when they step from this shore to the next and they have to stand before God and give an account. They will care. They will care. I just hope that they wake up before it's too late. Because there's too many that don't care. Too many that are unconcerned. Too many that are willing to just be part of the crowd. Too many. Too many. Too many. Too many. Who do not care. Conquer this world's gravity. Be a lily in the mud, a daisy in the gutter, a flower in the wilderness, a stream in the desert, and a rose amidst needles and thorns. If you have to flee to the catacombs, flee singing the praises of God. Amen. If you are an appetizer for the lions, then die praising God while you're being eaten. Amen. Throw your shoulders back and chest out. Lift up your head and hold your banner high to let everyone know that you are a child of God. Folks, we're getting there where we will be persecuted for believing what we believe. We are getting there. If you don't know it and you don't see it, it's because you're blind and you don't see far enough to be able to see what's coming down the road. But we are getting there. It's coming. Because there'll be a day when I'm going to be in trouble for preaching messages like this right here. That day will come. That day will come where we'll be persecuted for that. That day will come when I use the word fag and I'll be thrown in jail for it. That day will come. They're already not allowed to preach against homosexuals in Canada. That started a couple years ago. It's against the law. You can be prosecuted in court because it can be listed as a hate crime. A hate crime. Hey, we're heading there. I'm going to quit preaching against them. But we're heading there. We're heading there. And you wait till they pass the laws and see if I still preach the same. I promise you I will. But it's easier to do it now when there's no penalty for it. It's going to be a little harder in a couple years when they make a penalty for it because they're already heading that way now. They're already trying that now. So why are we making a difference, preacher? Well, because too many Christians are being conformed outside of church on Sunday, Monday through Friday, than being transformed. That's the problem. If every Christian who believed the truth stood for it, there wouldn't be none of this junk going on. There wouldn't be none of this junk going on. Wouldn't be any of it going on. Emerson said this, whoso would be a man must be a non-conformist. If the Bible is true, if God be real, and if you desire to be a man, then do not conform to this world and see what happens. Show me a famous Christian who was a conformist. Show me one in history. You will not find one. The Hall of Fame list includes John Bunyan. So what's so special about John Bunyan? Well, let's see. He spent 12 years in the Bedford jail. Why? Because he wouldn't stop preaching the gospel on the street corners. That's why. Oh, we had a blind daughter who had come to the Bedford jail and said, hey, I've got some good news. Daddy, I've got some good news. They promised that they'd let you out of jail if you do one thing. He said, what's that one thing, sweetheart, I got to do? She said, all you got to do is promise to quit preaching about Jesus on the street corners. If you'll do that, Daddy, and you'll quit preaching the gospel, they'll let you out of jail and you come home with me tonight, Daddy, if you'll do that. He said, I cannot stop preaching the gospel on the streets for Jesus Christ's sake. He was a non-conformist. Amen? A non-conformist. A non-conformist. John Wesley was a non-conformist. Read his diary sometime and you'll read, kicked out of church after church after church after church after church. We garnish his tombstone and crucify the people who are like him today. He was a non-conformist. He stood for truth. stories about him. He rode along one day and decided to stop and pray, figuring he must not be right with God, because almost the entire day had passed and evening was upon him, and he realized one thing had happened that day. He had not suffered any persecution for Jesus Christ's sake. Since he had not suffered any persecution that day, he figured he must not be right with God, and he stopped and got off his horse and bowed his head in prayer and prayed. And as he prayed, by the way, and he continued to pray loudly and fervently, someone came out of the bushes from behind him and began to throw rocks and stones at him and curse him for his prayers. And he began then to praise God as he prayed, saying he knows now he's gotten right with God because he's being persecuted once again for the cause of Christ. Amen! He was a nonconformist, amen? A nonconformist. Nonconformist. John Bunyan, nonconformist. John Wesley, nonconformist. Peter in the Bible, a nonconformist. Paul, a nonconformist. John the Baptist, a nonconformist. James, a nonconformist. Savonarola, a nonconformist. Martin Luther, a nonconformist. Cromwell, a nonconformist. John R. Rice, a nonconformist. Lester Roloff, a nonconformist. Tom Malone, a nonconformist. Lee Robertson, a nonconformist. Shadrach, a nonconformist. Meshach, a nonconformist. Amen. Abednego, a nonconformist. Daniel, a nonconformist. Amen. J. Frank Norris, a nonconformist. G.B. Hick, a nonconformist. Curtis Hudson, a nonconformist. Carl Hatch, a nonconformist. Charles Spurgeon, a nonconformist. David Brainerd, a nonconformist. William Carey, a nonconformist. All nonconformists. Why? Because they refuse to let the devil tell them how to behave and what to believe. They refused. They refused. They refused. People are not in church tonight. Why? Because they're conformists. That's why. Because they're letting the devil dictate to them where they ought to be tonight. When 6 o'clock rolled around, when you're a member of this church and you know you ought to be in the house of God at 6 o'clock on a Sunday night on the Lord's Day. Amen. Amen. It's true. These men that I listed were non-conformists. They refused to let the devil tell them how to behave, and they refused to let the devil dictate to them. In my 16 years of preaching, I've stood for the King James Bible. I've stood no matter what anybody has liked about it. We've had people get mad about it because I've gotten up and I've said the King James Bible is the only Bible. Doesn't matter whether they get mad or not. I'm going to keep saying it, even on Sunday mornings when I want to. I mentioned it this morning while I was preaching. Non-conformist is what we need to be. For 16 years, I have stood for the blood of Jesus Christ as the only cleansing agent for sin. And that's it. Nothing more added to it. It's Jesus Christ and His shed blood. If you add baptism to it, it's a work salvation. If you add anything else to it, it's a work salvation. No matter what it is that you add to it, it becomes then a work salvation. For 16 years of preaching, I have stood for the local independent Baptist church. I have stood by it. I've stood upon it. I've stood for it unashamed. I haven't cared who's gotten mad. We've had people got mad. I preached against a Lutheran church one time, and we got somebody mad and went out of here, and they said, well, I'm going to go to a Lutheran church just to show you that you're wrong. Well, good for them. La-di-da. Go ahead and go to your baby sprinklers. You don't see any babies being sprinkled in the Bible for baptism, though. And by the way, Brother A, you got in an argument with that man and told him that? Or maybe he got in an argument with him about something else. Maybe it was me that told him. I don't know. One of us told him. And he told me it didn't make a difference. I think it was me, actually, about that part. He said, oh, sprinkling, immersion, it doesn't matter. It's all the same. Really? It's all the same. Tell that to the next dead guy that you take a handful of dirt on, you sprinkle it over him, and see if they're buried or not. Yeah. Well, if that dead guy could speak, he'd tell you, cover me up with the dirt, please, all the way. Yeah, you're going to have to immerse him in a pit and throw a bunch of dirt over the top of him, amen? So, you want a picture? What Jesus did, he went all the way under and came up out of the water, amen? He was baptized by immersion. It does matter. I've stood for that for 16 years or more. For 16 years of preaching, I've stood for salvation by grace through faith alone and trusting in the blood of Jesus Christ. I've stood for the new birth. I've stood for the sinless life of Christ. I've stood for the vicarious death of Christ. I've stood for the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ. I've stood for the premillennial, pre-tribulational rapture of the saints, an old-fashioned separation from the world, old-time religion, old-time soul winning, old-time holy living, and eternal security of the believer, for which I am not about to quit because of our current society's trend to be able to try to say that you can lose your salvation by not living right. Listen, it kills me how these people say that. And you got about 90% of the supposed Bible-believing churches out there that say that junk. At least 85%. And they don't have any standards of separation. And they're telling me, if you don't live right, you lose your salvation. And I'm thinking, what's your definition of living right? Looking at you as you're three-fourths naked from head to toe. I mean, look at this Biller's outfit over here. They came by my house one Sunday afternoon handing out gospel tract flyers, inviting me to their church as we was pulling them from the bus route back in my truck end up in the driveway. Guys there in shorts, his wife in shorts, and handing me a flyer inviting me to church and telling me how they believe in being separated from the world. Really? Wow. It looks like it, yeah. You look real separated. As your wife's butt cheeks are almost hanging out of her shorts. That looks separated, all right, yeah. Boy, your idea of separation and mine just don't seem to be quite the same. But I bet you're attracted to me if that's how she dresses at church. I don't think it's quite what you think you're looking for, but wouldn't be what we're looking for, I know that. Lord help us. That's current society, though. But they don't believe in eternal security. That's crazy. I don't know if the particular church doesn't, but most of them don't. I didn't ask him about that. But most of them don't. But that's how they dress. That's how they conduct themselves. The fig leaf religion of the Garden of Eden. That's how they carry themselves. It's crazy, folks. Don't make any sense. 1 John 2:15. Hey, go ahead and turn to it. Why not? You look bored. We need you to wake up. 1 John 2:15. You turn to it. First John 2:15. Look what it says. Love what? Not the world. Neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Huh. Why? Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world? If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him? Huh. That's what the Bible says. Huh. It doesn't mean they're not saved, but it means they don't have the love of the Father in them. That means they're not what they're supposed to be as a Christian. That's for sure. Hey, 2 Corinthians 6:17. Go ahead and look that one up too. Why not? Keep you awake a little bit longer. What it says, 2 Corinthians 6:17. I'm sorry, a few of you didn't hear it. 2 Corinthians 6:17. Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. Huh. So come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Hey, we're supposed to separate from them. We're supposed to separate from them. For you sweet little Christians, there's more to the Bible than just Psalms 23. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And by the way, for a few of you, a few months back, you found out in my Bible study series there's a little more to Psalms 23 than you thought too. But the truth of the matter is that there's more to that book. God said, touch not the unclean thing. Keeps oneself unspotted from the world, he says. All kinds of verses. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And the saints shall someday rule the world, the Bible says. And I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the world. And they not of the world, even as I am not of the world. And be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Amen. And be ye not unequally yoked together with what? Unbelievers, the Bible says. Amen. And they who have turned the world upside down have come here also. And whosoever is born of God overcometh the world, even our faith. And ye are a holy generation, a royal priesthood, and that he might deliver us from this present world. And I have overcome the world, and the friendship of the world is enemy with God, and pure religion undefiled before God. And the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Amen. And then Paul says, Demas hath forsaken me. Guess what he said? Having loved, can you finish the verse? This present world. Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. I hope I don't ever have to say that about some of you. I have in years past had to say that about some of our members. Some who were faithful members for even a year or two or three. And then they just went bye-bye. Oh, it was gradual at first, missing a service here and there. But then eventually they just disappeared altogether. And I'd visit them and they'd say, oh, preacher, yeah, I'm coming. There's something wrong. Oh, no, things couldn't be better. Just been busy lately. Just been busy. Oh, blank hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. I could fill in the names, but I won't. Some of you wouldn't know them, some of you would. Some of them were here before you ever got here and gone before you ever got here. Demas hath forsaken me. I'll tell you what, I've told this to my wife before. I said, you know what, hon, I said, if we could have everybody we ever had in this church that was faithful, I said, this place would be packed on Sunday nights. And I said, this church and the tithes and offerings would be unbelievable, and the amounts of people we could reach for Christ would be unbelievable. But we just couldn't keep them here long enough for the rest of y'all to get here. Amen. But it really isn't about me keeping them here. It's about them deciding to live for God. It's about them deciding to be transformed instead of conformed. Because if they become conformed to the world, they won't be here very long. Because they can't stay very long. They can't stay. And that's the truth. So, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, Paul said. Better talk it over with God, huh? You can live in a godless home and still be transformed. Did you know that? And not conformed. I can prove it for some of you listening to this sermon tonight. There's some of you that don't live in what the Bible definition of a godly home would be. But you've made a lot of efforts and strides to try to live a transformed life. And I applaud you for such. Yeah. But keep it up, because you still got a long ways to go. Yeah. Keep it up. It can be done. It can be done. It may not be easy all the time, but it can be done. And it doesn't mean you don't love your home. It doesn't mean you don't love your family. But it means that you do love your God and your Savior, and you want to do what's right. And that's what you should be striving for in your life. Doing that which is right. The rewards on the other end will far outweigh anything you might ever feel like you've missed out on. By far. I promise you that. Paul told the Christians in Rome that it was possible in their morally polluted atmosphere to breathe without poisoning their souls. Now, if it's possible for the Christians in Rome, folks, it's possible for us tonight. I'm telling you, it is. It's possible for us in our city here in Lincoln, Nebraska, to live for God tonight. This is a godless city in many ways. It really is, if you think about it. I mean, if you think about the environment, if you think about the atmosphere of society, the humanism that's taught and pushed and shoved, the homosexual population that's one of the largest in the country for a city this size. If you think about all the corrupt perverted mindsets of so many people, even just in our neighborhood area around here and so forth. If you think about that. Now, believe me, I've been to cities that are bigger cities and they have real ghettos and all that. But, hey, the people right here around this area, though, guess what? They need Christ. They need Christ. It's not like they're all lost. Sure hope not. We sure have been working hard at getting some of them saved all these years. But there's still a long ways to go. This is by far, far from being a godly neighborhood over here. By far. By far. By far. It's just another modern day Rome in this neighborhood. Just godless, sensual, living for pleasure, living for self, laziness, drunkards, don't want to do anything, want to sit around and hold signs, begging for, want to stand over at 16th and South with a sign all afternoon on Thursday, holding a sign, "We'll work for food, collecting your money at their stoplight there." Then we got to run India over there, soul winning off of Garfield and over by Russ's IGA, and got to, you got to try to run this way and run that way and run this way. I mean, it was hilarious. I just dropped you guys off on Garfield Street, and I saw that clown. It's the same guy that punched Brother Hodek. Saw that clown coming this way. Well, as soon as he saw our bus, he turned around and started going the other way. Bless God. Well, guess what? We came around on Washington Street, and I parked the bus right in front of him. He was coming across the lot. He saw it. He turned around, went back the other way. And you know what? He can't escape it, bless God. He's nothing but a stinking pig and heathen. He's nothing but on his way to hell without Christ. And you know what? He's going to live for his drink, because that's what he was doing. Brother Jonathan finally caught up to him. He wasn't interested in talking because he'd been drinking all evening. Well, that's because he was collecting his money in the daytime to get his liquor. That's his life. We've got tons of people in our city like that. And it's not that they're the only problem we got in our city. We got a major problem. But just think about all the ability that's wasted through all of those men that you see in our streets. Think about everything that's wasted. Think about every one of those men, and some of them we've had to our church and so forth, and we've had them sit in these pews and we've preached the gospel to them. Some of them have slipped in, I've led to Christ, and they went downstairs and ate donuts and slipped out. And once is fine, when they do it twice, it makes me angry. Not because I care that much about the donuts, but it's just mocking our system here. They come in here, drink coffee, and eat donuts, and then walk out the door and don't even stay for church, bless God. So we see them a third time come and lock the door, bless God, because we know all you're after is donuts, amen. Donuts in the morning, liquor in the evening, that's all you got going on in life. What a shame. And sleeping on the benches over here. And shame, shame, shame. It's a godless society. So in an environment like that, can somebody live for God in a city with that? In a city where the schools are full of heathens? In a city and a society where the politicians are corrupt? Sure can. Rome was that way. Rome was that way. Oh, they had their winos and bums. They had their corrupt educational system. I've preached a message about that before. Some of you have probably heard it a few years back. I've preached and taught about Rome and how corrupt their political system was and how corrupt their, good night. Pilate was just another one in line to sponge off the people. They traded out governors often because governor became just a position to where you got to get rich and then get out and then another guy come in and got his chance to plunder off the people. It was corrupt. It was a corrupt system. It was a corrupt people. It was corrupt. But Paul said, hey, you still can be transformed. You still don't have to be conformed. You don't have to do as the Romans do. Amen. When in Rome. Amen. And you don't have to do as the Lincolnites do when in Lincoln or in Nebraska or in the United States or anywhere else in this world. You don't have to do as they do. You don't have to do as the Romans do. Paul told the Christians in Rome that it was possible for them to do it. You can work in a godless factory, go to a godless school, live in a godless home, live in a godless neighborhood, and still be transformed. It's a shame that some of our bus riders from bad neighborhoods that may live in an area where you're at, they live for God more than some people that have all the opportunities. What a shame. If they're better Christians, and I think it's great that they're better Christians, but if they're better Christians than a kid whose parents teach a Sunday school and who goes soul winning and all that, then shame on you kids that are church kids. Shame on you. I'm not saying that's the case tonight, but if it was the case, shame on you. Shame on you. Shame on you. Shame on you. You've got better opportunity and you don't take advantage of it. Instead, you're conformed. Paul said, be transformed and not conformed. It matters not who you are. It matters not what you are. You can live for God wherever you are, whenever the time is. Factory workers can live for God. If they could do it in Rome, and Paul expected them to do it in Rome, then they can do it today in our society. Amen. The Holy Spirit who inspired the Bible expected them to live for God in Rome, which means that he also expects for us to live for God in our Rome here today. Let's stand to our feet. Be transformed. Be transformed and not conformed. That's the title tonight.